Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul urges believers to live with spiritual alertness, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. These truths are meant to encourage and strengthen us as we walk together in faith. Please open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, and join Pastor Ray Viola as he completes his message of verses 1 through 11.
See, we're children of the light. We're children of the day. We are no longer of the night nor of darkness. Not you and I. But what about those who are crying peace and safety? Many of them attend church. You see, we think the ones that are crying peace and safety are the ones with the needle in their arm under the expressway. And it may be. Or someone in a rehab. There's a lot of people sitting in churches that are saying peace and safety. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, he said in chapter 13, verse 11, "It is high time to awake out of sleep." Who is Paul writing this to? A church. And the presumption, it's not even a presumption, and the idea here is that there are people here hearing these words thinking, "I'm okay." But he says, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. That's a process, sanctification. None of us are going to be sinlessly perfect. It's ongoing, we know that, okay? We still have this entity called the flesh that we have to battle with. But we're choosing to walk in the light, okay? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Now that is what we used to call partying. And it's not talking about just having a beer or two. It's talking about you going all night and you are just crazy on steroids. Now here's one. Listen carefully, not in chambering. You know what the word chambering means? It means cohabiting with someone, having sexual intimacy with someone outside of the boundaries of marriage. Pastors didn't write this. No longer. In other words, they're taking that position. They're not going to be persuaded elsewhere. But they think they're right because they said a sinner's prayer. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Just read the list of the people that are not going to go to heaven. And right now, Satan is saying to some of you, did God really say that? Yes, he did. Did God really mean that? Yes, he did. You know why God's saying that right now? Because he loves you, if that's you or me right now, to wake you up. That's it. Not in strife, not in envying. Peter says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The word peculiar means different. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, we've been called out of darkness, out. We've been delivered. The debt has been paid. And now God is working in us. We are no longer living. We're no longer living in the kingdom of darkness. We are now living in the kingdom of light. You see, that there's been a change. A change of rulership, a change of who we basically are. In darkness, we were in Adam. Now we are in Christ. So then Paul says, let us not sleep. He's writing to a congregation. The word sleep, he's speaking morally. And the word here means to be dull, to be imperceptive, or to be numb. In other words, you're not hearing the warning anymore. But you think, I'm okay. Right? That's what he's saying. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch. The word watch there means be vigilant. It means to be circumspect. I'll get to that in a moment. It means to be, then he says, be sober, clear-minded, temperate, alert, not intoxicated by the things of this life or the things of this world. Let us watch. Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Mark 13:34, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening, at midnight, at the cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Those that sleep, those who live a lifestyle contrary to what the Bible says, are in the night. And those who are drunken, intoxicated by a contrary lifestyle than what is foretold in the Scripture that bears the fruit of the Spirit, they are in the night. He says that we are to walk circumspectly. And I've used this illustration a few times. You probably know it. I could give the microphone to anybody that have been here for 2 weeks, and you know what I'm going to say. So let me explain it to you. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Well, let's just say that Lizzie and I invited all of you over to our house after church. When my mama lived with us, she just says, honey, I'm the oldest of Italian boys. You know, honey, don't put me in a nursing home. Honey, don't put me in. I'll buy you a pool. Mom, we love you. You can live with us. You don't have to buy us a pool. Well, she passed away. And in the will, she left some money to me and my brothers. We bought a pool. So if you've been to our house, okay, we have a very, very basic pool. But it has a sidewalk, concrete. Now, if you know my wife, you know that she is a mercy motive servant on steroids. And so she'll come out. That's the picture. We're all there, and none of you have any shoes on at all. And she comes out with a tray of water in glass pitchers, trips, smash goes all of the glass. Are you going to go? No way. You are going to walk circumspectly. Oh, no. I better watch out for that. I'm not going to go over here. Let's sweep this away. That doesn't mean walking with the Lord is walking on pins and needles. Okay? It means that you are aware that he's coming. And you don't want to step onto things that are going to dishonor him. Do you live like that? We should be, right? Why? Because we're stewards. The next breath you and I take comes from him. Everything that you and I have as believers, before I was saved, it belonged to me. Now, where I live, what I have in the bank, what spiritual talents I have, everything now has been given to me by God, and I am to steward every breath, every penny, every moment. How can I now live today to bring you glory? I don't want to just step on the glass and do my thing. Now, that doesn't mean that once you become a Christian, you don't enjoy life anymore. Are you kidding me? The Bible tells us that God gives us things richly to enjoy. We love it when we have people, and you're eating, you're biting into that burger, you go, praise God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God, right? I love it when I get invited to a family wedding. Now, I don't know what my cousins are going to do, my aunts are going to, I'm going to go, and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to celebrate. And if my aunt comes up to me and says, Raymond, honey, do you want to dance? Yeah, let's go. I just lost 3/4 of you. You mean you can enjoy a ball game? I can really enjoy it now. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Right? But there are some people, and I'm not thinking of anyone, when they got water baptized, what did they get dipped into? Dill pickle juice? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, when I say walking circumspectly, you know, I'll tell you what, young people, older people, the world can never give to you what Christ will give to you for free. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the counterfeit to what he wants to give you. He'll give you things that money can't buy. People ask me, how much money do you make? It's none of your business, but I'll tell you what. I am so stinking filthy rich, you have no idea. You can't count it. Go, how much you make? Yeah? You want to? It's not measured in dollars and cents. You can't buy peace. You can't buy joy. You can't buy hope. You can't buy comfort. I got it all paid in full by Jesus Christ. So when I say walking circumspectly, one of the things the devil's going to want to do, like Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, Peter. He wants you back to where you lived, not to steal your salvation, but to bring dishonor to the name of Christ. Okay, so, alert. Yes, Master, alert. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Blessed us who are of the day. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What? Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What do you wear a helmet for? To protect your head. You know what the Bible tells us? We are to bring every thought into captivity. How many of you, even as a believer, I'll answer for you, have thoughts that sometimes go into the swamp, right? Now, don't be those holy, I never get a hold of a thought. You are stinking lying. A murderous thought, an angry thought, a lustful, lewd thought. What do? You bring it into captivity. Here's the difference. Before, you would build it a nest and wonder, oh, how am I going to bring this to pass? Now you go, no, out, gone, right? Armor, put on the whole armor of God. Armor, why do we need armor? I get the idea from some people that following Christ is like playing pickleball. No, I'm not down in pickleball. But you don't need armor to play pickleball. You need armor when you're at battle. Right, Josh? Anybody in the military? Had a good old Marine giving an amen the first service. Amen, brother. Armor. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is nasty. This is warfare. Against principalities and powers. The wiles that the devil used in the garden is working today. We're to redeem the time, Paul says in Ephesians 5:16. Redeem means to make the most of every day, every opportunity that you have for the glory of God. Amen. Remember last week I was telling you about the things that we are called to do more and more? Walk in holiness, walk in love. You know what else he tells us to do more and more? I'm going to read it to you. Then I'm going to duck. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, please, let's understand what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. He's talking about gathering together for congregational worship or Bible study. That's what he's talking about. It's not me telling Don, let's go get a cup of coffee after church. That's fellowship. He's talking about congregational gathering together like we're doing now to worship, to praise, to edify, to come here this morning knowing that God's going to be worshiped and knowing coming, I am coming and I am ready to serve, not be served, to give, not take. Remember years, some of you remember. How many of you were old enough for JFK's administration? Wow, you guys are old. Remember what he said? His inauguration address? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Let me paraphrase that. There's a lot of people saying, what is the church going to do for me? Exactly what you're going to do for it. You get out of church life what you put into it. You want friends? Be friendly. You want to see you grow in the Lord? Just serve him, right? I wish you would have taped your sermon on Friday night. Josh, you got me so convicted, I actually re-prayed the sinner's prayer. It was so good, so edifying. No, I really didn't re-pray the sinner's prayer. No. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We should be doing this and wanting to do this more and more. But you know what? That's not the mentality of a lot of people, even church people. I'm not saying that it's a salvation issue, but I say that there's a serious, serious flaw in a mentality. If you woke up this morning and says, well, I better go to church today. Oh, I have to go to church today. Oh, my golly. All right. What would you do? Can I illustrate for you something? Okay, here it is. Hi, Lizzie. Hi, sweetie. Raymond, where are you going? I'm going to church. Why? I have to. Yeah, I have to. Yeah. Hope you're happy. Glad you came. You know what? Pinch me. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. We get to serve. We get to give. We get to witness. We get to live for Christ. We get to. When it's a got to, you have a Mount Sinai relationship with Jesus Christ, not a Calvary relationship. We get to because of how much he loved us. And God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify something. Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, we'll overcome the world. Where does the tribulation come to the church? Where is the source? The devil, Satan, right? The great tribulation isn't Satan. The great tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon non-believers. You see the difference? The book of Revelation talks about the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God, the wrath of Almighty God. We have not been appointed to that. Amen? I'm not talking about an escape. We haven't been appointed to that. We've been appointed to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, again, verse 10. Notice, here is really the heart of it. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wait a minute. Let me read to you Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether therefore we live, therefore, or die, we belong to the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both to those that are dead and the living. You hear what he's saying? When you are born again, before you and I are born again, there's this human inferior trinity. Me, myself, and I. When you are born again and Christ comes in, the testimony of Paul is our testimony. I am crucified with Christ. That's the old man. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, self-centeredness is no longer what drives me, but I still have this flesh. I was telling the first service, I love our grandkids. I love our kids. And there we will be for a Sunday dinner, and then there may be this chocolate pie or this apple pie. And I'm sitting at the end of the table, and then there's like one piece left, and I'm thinking, you stinking, blinking rugrats, don't you even think of going for that apple pie. And then old Papa will begin to just, you know? That big piece of cheesecake. And now tell me, you know, it's no good for you. No good for you. It'll increase your cholesterol. As I, so I have to fight off selfishness all the time. You know, what a release it is. What a relief it is when you get the revelation that the world doesn't revolve around you, but around Jesus. So, what did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5, 14? And 15, for the love of Christ constrains us. That should be the motive of everything that we do, beloved. Inside and outside of the church, at home, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, employee, employer, athlete, whatever. The love of Christ constraining us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's the abundant life, living for Jesus. Faith in Christ not only frees us from the debt of sin, it frees us from living self-centered, self-pleasing lives. Revelation 4:11 says, we've been created and redeemed for his pleasure. Serving Jesus Christ is not a duty, it's not a burden. To be what motivates us to do what we do. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. Comfort yourselves. You've been redeemed. You know, the greatest debt a human being can have is the debt of sin. Christ died for it. You know what the greatest prison is? I'll tell you. You know what Raymond Viola's greatest prison is? Prison is when I look in that mirror every morning and I look at that stinking, blinking guy there and go, you know, that is the biggest troublemaker that I have on planet Earth. You're going to die today, Viola. Right? The greatest prison is when you're living for yourself. Christ lived to please his Father. We should live to please our Father. So comfort one another. You know, talking about using your gifts for the glory of God. We are so blessed with, you know, the people that serve here, you know. But we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the glory of God, you know. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. You're going to coach a baseball, Little League baseball team, do it for the glory of God. You're going to be some kind of a PT, do it for the glory of God. Everything. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything on earth is to be for the glory of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.